LNB's audio diary for the 24th of September, 2023. It is a Sunday. And I have just finished up at the shelter, rabbit and guinea pigs. There's two guinea pigs right now. And they took a little work today because I had to clean out their cage. And they have bedding, kind of the same bedding that we're using for the rabbits. That is, it's newspaper with a layer of absorbing pellets, wood chip pellets, and then hay on top of that. And gotta clean all that out, and it's kind of a hassle, but it goes fast. It's really not that big a deal. But that took a while, and then I ran and I got some more. There's like some special vitamin food or whatever, special guinea pig food. They can eat there's absorbing pellets, and then we also have like food pellets, and they can eat the food pellets because it's just compressed hay, really. And they get that, and they get some fresh greens and carrots and stuff. But I give them that stuff too because supposedly it's got all the vitamins and stuff that they need. So they eat really well. They do. I try not to give them too much, but they do eat well. So anyway, I got that, and they needed more greens. The greens had gotten a little yucky. Need carrots too. I didn't want to spend the money on them. Carrots, I mean, they're not out of carrots, but they're all rubbery now, and that's no good. Nobody likes that. The rabbit had a weird thing yesterday. First off, somebody else had been doing the rabbit. Somebody knew who, everything was messed up, and it took me like a half hour just to get everything organized so I can take care of him. You know, clear. It is just, you know, stuff was in the wrong place, and it was all stacked wrong, and all, you know, the usual sort of disorganization type of thing when someone is pressed into service who probably doesn't have much training, right? So, not a big deal, but it had to be done. So, I did that. But then, when I go to do the rabbit, when I go to take, you know, clean his area up, I see that there's a spray of blood on the floor and against this box that he's got that he hides in. And it looked to me like a sneeze, like a bloody sneeze, if you've ever seen something like that. Because he didn't have any blood on him, and there was no blood trailed anywhere else. It's not like, you know, he'd gotten cut badly and then ran around or nothing like that. I really do think it was a sneeze. Well, there's this thing called, there's a type of hemorrhagic fever that rabbits get, right? And we're kind of really worried about that. Now, he's been vaccinated against that. But you never know, right? You never know. And people come in. Now, he hasn't been in contact with any other rabbits in a very long time. But people come in who have rabbits. So you never not quite know what they bring in. That being said, he's, you know, running around. He's got lots of energy. He's eating. He's, you know, otherwise okay. So I don't quite know what to make of that. Today, I saw him just, I guess, for the sake of chewing on something. He was chewing on the bars on his cage. It's just like chicken wire around his, not quite chicken wire, but it's not heavy gauge steel, but it's enough, more than enough for a rabbit. And he's just chewing on that. And I wonder if maybe he hurt himself. He was chewing on it, hurt himself, cut himself, sneezed or something, and I don't know. I'm making it up. I have no idea. He's in pretty good shape today. Didn't seem to have any problems, so I don't know. What do I know? I know nothing. Don't listen to me. So, anyway, when I was out, here's a cool thing. At the feed store where I got the stuff for the guinea pig, they also have all sorts of old-timey candies, right? And they have lots of different kinds of licorice. I saw that they had a soft licorice there, and the flavor is huckleberry. I'm not kidding. Now, huckleberries, or huckleberry in general, looms very large in the American culture, right? And yet, how many people have actually ever had one? Well, this isn't huckleberry, but it's huckleberry flavored. What does that taste like? Well, first off, the texture of the licorice is very soft. Very, very nice. It's very nice. Okay. And they're nice and big and you know, chewy. There's a nice, good size to these things. Secondly, the flavor. Imagine a blueberry, a raspberry, and like a Concord grape mixed together. It's something like that. It's something like that. Very interesting flavor. Very tasty, extremely tasty. Anyway, huckleberry licorice, there you go. Okay, so what's up with me? Let's see, I uploaded chapter 20 to Patreon. I put 19 on the feed. Patreon now allows you to join for zero money. You can just join. You don't have to put any money down. I encourage you, if you have not subscribed to the feed, go over to Patreon and sign up. Join my Patreon for zero money. You don't get billed, you don't get anything, right? You do that, and you'll get the latest stuff as it comes out. Now, why would you want to do that instead of just, you know, stick with the feed? Well, again, you know, the stuff does hit there first. But I don't believe in exclusivity on stuff. I really don't, right? Most of my life, I've been excluded from things because of money, right? And I still am. And most of us are excluded from something or other because of money, right? Well, if it's something truly luxurious or, you know, stupidly, excessively expensive that we don't really need, who cares, right? But when it's something that matters to you, something that you want to be involved in, that, you know, it bothers you that you're not, I don't think you should be excluded. Well, I just don't like that, and that's why I don't want to exclude anybody, right? So if you want to be part of that, just go to Patreon. You can join for nothing, and they won't charge you anything, and it won't cost you anything, et cetera, et cetera. And you have access to everything I put over there. Sometimes I put up notices and things over there about stuff that's happening, stuff that I'm going to do. So there is, you know, in addition to getting any new audio content over there, you also can find out about new stuff that might be coming out, any news I have, or any important issues that might be coming up. So there it is. I put that up. Let's see. All right, so 20 hit that. 19 hit the RSS feed, the regular RSS feed, Star Drifter feed. Yesterday, I recorded chapter 21, and my goal is to finish off the following four chapters, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25, of All He Surveys, Volume 1, by the end of October. That is my goal, and I'm going to be answerable to you, dear listener. If I come back and report that I didn't get those things recorded by the end of October, you can take me to task. Feel free. Feel free. But that is the goal. And as a result, I may not be putting them out the way, you know, I know it's been a real long drag between each episode or each chapter that I put out. But it might be even longer until the end of October, because I want to get these things in the can. And once they are, it's going to be a lot easier to get this done. I should be able to get the book done by the end of the year, and then I can focus entirely on Volume 2 for next year. And that should be a good thing. I think that's a good plan, and that's the direction I'm going in anyway. Speaking of Concord grape soda, which doesn't taste like Concord grapes. No, doesn't taste like huckleberry either, so whatever. So yeah, the goal here is to finish off the novel completely, written and audio, done, right? And then finish off part two, written and done next year. And hopefully not take the whole year to do it. So we'll see. We'll see about that. But it's definitely on my mind right now, and that's how I want to do it. So I should be able to, I should be able to do it. I am going through each chapter before I go out and record and give it one last polish before I go out and record. And when I'm done with the recording, I can then upload new versions or a new version of All He Surveys, right? And just, you know, wait for that. I'll tell you, if you've already bought it, wait for that. I'll tell you when it's up. And a lot of, I don't know about Amazon, but I know over at Smashwords, you can go and get the latest version. If there's been an update to a book, a revision of a book, you can go and just download it if you've already purchased it. And I think Amazon does that too, but I'm not sure. And if not, and you're stuck, drop me a line. I'll send it to you. You know, I don't care. It won't cost you anything. So that's where I am. I want to finish this off, and I want to do it soon. So that's going to take focus. So I may, as I say, I may not get a new chapter out for about a month. But then I can just work on that alone throughout November and into December, and then we're done. We're done. The book is done, first part. And I can move forward. So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. So let's see, what else? What else have I been up to? I don't really know. What have I been watching? About last week, I think it was. There's a movie that came out in the 70s. It came out in 1977. All right, and that's significant for a reason. I'll come back to it later. It's called Sorcerer. It is not a sword and sorcery. It's not a magic, you know, it's not about magic or wizards or anything like that. The name, if you watch the movie, the name is internal to the movie, right? Kind of the way I name stuff, you know, if you out of context, it doesn't make any sense. So, the plot of this, well, first off, the movie is based, basically, it's a remake in a way, an American remake of an old French film called The Wages of Fear, okay? So the grand strokes of the plot are the same, all right? In Sorcerer, you have these four guys, and they're all kind of lowlifes and criminals, right? And they come from different parts of the world, all right? And they're all kind of on the run, right? One of them was a terrorist in the Middle East. One of them is an assassin from Mexico. There's another one. I can't remember what he was, but he's crooked too. And Roy Scheider is in this, all right? And Scheider was a gangster from, I think it was Philadelphia. And, or New York or something like that. And, you know, he runs afoul of one of the local gangs, mafia gangs, and he has to skip the country. So they end up in this unnamed country in South America that where oil has been found and is being, you know, an American company is handling the oil, right? But it's in the middle of the jungle. It's in the middle of this godforsaken country. And the rest of the country is so poor. It's so poor and so, you know, it's like a, well, it's definitely, you know, what we call developing countries, but it's a third world country. And the local economy is entirely supported by the oil well, people working there. Really desperate poverty situation. you know, if you got to hide out, if people are after your skin, a place like that's a pretty good place to hide, right? So an explosion happens at the oil rig, right? Because local freedom fighters are against the American, you know, the Yankees down there exploiting them, blah, blah, blah. And they're against the government and they're against everybody, right? So they do sabotage and they more or less act like bandits. And they've set a bomb and the bomb goes off at the oil rig. And so the rig's on fire, right? And it used to be, I don't know if they still do it, but it used to be that they would put fires out, those kinds of fires out with explosives, right? The bomb would go off and deprive it of oxygen and the fire would go out, right? And sometimes it would bury the, you know, like completely seal off the oil well, and then they could dig it out and clean it up and fix it, right? But they used to use explosives for that. They probably have much better ways of doing it now, but that's how it used to be done. And they have a shed that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's away from everybody where they store dynamite. More or less for this exact reason, right? But nobody has been tending to this dynamite. And we know what happens to dynamite, TNT specifically, when it sits for a while, right? It starts to weep nitroglycerin, right? This is the only stuff they can get in a timely fashion, right? If they have to wait for dynamite to be brought in from somewhere else, it's going to take forever. So they need this stuff, and they need it transported to the well. 200 miles through the worst roads you can imagine, through the jungles, right? Weeping dynamite through this terrain, right? So the American oil executive, you know, manager there, comes through the town with a bullhorn, you know, in a car saying, you know, we are looking to hire 4 men who can drive a truck and are, you know, willing to take high risk for a high reward. And, you know, they're offering all this money. And Roy Scheider takes it because he's down on his, they're all down, all these 4 guys are down on the, yeah. The 4th guy was a French executive. Like a banker, financing stuff, and he embezzled money and he lost it all and he had to skip the country. So he's the 4th guy, right? So they're all criminals of one stripe or another. And these 4 guys all, for various reasons, know how to drive a big rig, right? Like Roy Scheider wasn't a truck driver, he was a bus driver, at least at some point in the past. We don't see him at that point, but he drove big buses. So these guys know how to drive. These 4 guys know how to drive big truck. And they have 2 big trucks that they have to repair. They're like junks. And there were like 8 trucks and they take parts from all 8 trucks to try to make 2 of them that actually work, right? And then they take half, like the, I think it was 4 boxes each, 3 or 4 boxes each, right? They only need 1 box. They only need 1 box of dynamite to seal off this thing. But they're thinking, you know, there's a really good chance these things are not going to make it, right? So they separate them into 2 trucks, and 1 truck goes out, and then the other one follows 15 minutes behind. Because if 1 goes, then they have another one to try to make, you know, try to get through. And they go through the worst driving, the worst conditions with these trucks, 200 miles through the jungle to get to this oil rig, right? Dear listener, I have to tell you, it is the most intense movie I have ever seen in my life, right? Now, I remember when Sorcerer came out. Sorcerer came out in 1977. We remember another big movie that came out in 77, right? Star Wars. Sorcerer stood no chance. No other movie stood any chance against Star Wars, right? But especially something like Sorcerer. It got trounced, and it got panned, and it just bombed. It was a bomb, all right? pun intended, I guess. But I remember it being advertised, right? I remember seeing the ads on TV for this movie. And I was like, oh, I'd like to see that. You know, I was intrigued. And I don't know, what was I? I don't even know how old I was. 15? Something like that. I remember being intrigued because of the name Sorcerer, but it was clearly not a magic movie. It was just intriguing and cool. I never got to see it until very recently, until a week or so ago. And I was on the edge of my seat throughout this movie. Now, it has a really slow start. It's got to be the first quarter of the movie. You're just being introduced to your four characters, right? And how they ended up in this small town. So we see, you know, their stories. And we see the despicable things they do to get there. And it starts building from there. And oh my God. It is an intense thriller. An intense film. And I so recommend this movie. It's an amazingly made film. You'll sit and watch it and you'll say, how the hell did they do it? It's just amazing. It's an amazing, you know, production. And I read up on it after I watched it. First off, it was directed by William Blatty, something like that. The guy that directed The Exorcist. Right, and he did other really big films back in the old days, right? So he did Exorcist, and then he did this, right? And everybody was confused because of the name, right? Because he had just done, you know, a movie about the devil and magic and stuff, and now he has a movie called Sorcerer, but it's not anything to do with that, and it confused people, right? So that was part of the reason why it got panned, because critics are shallow, right? But I am telling you, dear listener, you should see this film. It's amazing. Now, it's based on Wages of Fear, and many people say Wages of Fear is even better, but it's different. It's not as edgy or see. It's just a better made film. I don't know about that. I am set to watch that, and I can report back what I think about Wages of Fear. Wages of Fear came out in the 50s. I'll watch that, and I'll let you know what I think about that. But oh my gosh, Sorcerer is so thrilling. It is such, I mean, it's so intense. You know, so intense. I cannot remember the last time I watched a movie and I was holding my breath. That's what this movie did for me. You know, it was really, really good. So I recommend that highly, highly. It's got to be my biggest recommendation this year of anything I've seen. And you've heard me going off effusively about Ahsoka and all these other things, and they're all fantastic. You know, Star Wars, you know what I think about it. And I know what it did to Sorcerer, right? But, you know, I'm telling you, you really should track it down and watch it. It's really amazing. So anyway, I guess... that's it for today, because I am home.